get ready for the rest of this evening. We're going to do just a little bit of review of this morning and then just pick up because everything's on tape. Start off over in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now, what we were talking about this morning, if you remember, which I'm sure you do if you were here, is exactly how much power, dominion, and authority that we as Christians have over Satan. And how that a lot of people in the body of Christ just don't seem to comprehend this, just don't seem to understand. And, I'll put it like this. Anything going on in your life that doesn't line up with God's Word is not of God. Now, that's one of those extremely simple statements. But you know, it's interesting how such a simple statement like that, a light can just go off inside somebody. It's like, yeah, I never thought about that. That makes sense. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, then it's not of God. Now, as far as the work of the enemy is concerned, some people might say things like, well, you know, if the devil's attacking and trying to mess up your life, then there must be sin in your life. Well, you try telling that to Jesus. Didn't the devil himself come to Jesus? Sure he did. Tempted him, tried to mess up his life. Didn't people on more than one occasion try to kill Jesus? You better believe they did. Did Jesus have sin in his life? I don't think so. My Bible says he didn't. So therefore, an attack of the enemy is not necessarily a sign you've got sin in your life. Now granted, if you did have sin in your life and you are playing the role of the hypocrite, yeah, there's an open door. But just because there's an attack, it doesn't mean there's sin in your life. So, you know, don't get off on that kind of a tangent either. Because some folks will tell you that. And that's not right. Look at the guy named Paul. I mean, he was a burr under the devil's saddle, was he not? And the devil said, man, I'm going to send a personal messenger to buffet Paul. And he did. Some people have mistakenly said, well, that was sent from God. All you have to do is read the Bible. It plainly tells you a messenger of Satan. I don't know how much more clear it has to be. Well, talking about our authority in this realm, if you look here in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He says, now this word hurt, this is not just ouch hurt. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's not just, I mean, you stub your toe, it's going to hurt, okay? Let's rephrase this maybe to help us understand. He won't be able to defeat you. The enemy will not be able to defeat you. Now you can defeat yourself, but the enemy will not be able to defeat you. Jesus said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Now in that verse, Jesus is telling us clearly that the enemy has power. But he's saying, I give you power over his power. Now look over in Mark chapter 16. In verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall cast out devils. All right, Now, Jesus has said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Quite honestly, that verse alone should settle it for us. If he says, I give you all power over all the power of the enemy, it should go without saying that we can cast the devils out. Right? So technically, we don't need this verse in Mark chapter 16. But I thank God that it's there. Because it reconfirms to me what I need to know, what God wants me to know. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. How am I going to do that? Jesus said, I just told you. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. That's how you're going to be able to cast out devils. And remember, we talked this morning about how that when it comes to casting out devils, it's not just a matter of this image that we have of people that are berserk, slobbering, foaming at the mouth, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, their eyes spinning in their sockets and all. That's not the only kind of casting out that God wants us to do. This casting out includes things like that, but it also includes things like sickness, as we saw Jesus do, mental problems, as we saw Jesus do, people involved or possessed with spirits, as far as the occult is concerned, as we saw Paul do, and also things that would be involved in the area of stealing, killing, and destroying, because Jesus said that's what the thief comes to do. So if the devil comes to do those things, and I've got power over all his power, that means I have the ability, through the power that Jesus has given me, to stand up against the power of the enemy for stealing, killing, and destroying. Meaning, if he comes and tries to work stealing, killing, and destroying in my life, in my family, in my body, in my finances, in my job, in my ministry, whatever it would be, I have the power to cast him out. This is the Word of God. And the most mind-boggling thing is, there are churches out there that will tell you all about Jesus to get born again and lead you to Jesus. But when it comes to things like this, it's almost like they take a stand against such teaching. How can you preach and teach something like that? Well, it's easy. I just get in the Bible and read about it and then stand up and tell everybody. It's a no-brainer. What's right in the Word? It's right in Scripture. And incredibly enough, a lot of us grew up and never understood that, never even knew things like that, and was right here in the Bible. I mean, hey, for all I know, that some of these passages we looked at this morning might have been in some of those Bible drills I was in when I was a kid. Oh, if you were never, how many of you were ever in Bible drills when you were a kid? I could not stand Bible drills. They'd line you up like the Inquisition. And you'd have to stand there, and they'd have judges, and they'd tell you to find a verse, and you'd have to have like your hand on your Bible in just a certain way, and then they'd give you the verse, and you'd have to go through and find it. The first one to find it, you'd have to step out like that. Or to memorize. They'd quote you a verse, and you'd have to step out and then quote that verse. Couldn't stand doing that. But my mom and dad made me do it. And the crazy thing is, I almost won one year. I came in second and advanced to the next round. I didn't want to do that. I did not. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. But Jesus says, now listen, if Jesus told us this, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. If he said this, don't you think that might have been part of his intention when he said, go ye unto all the world? That it wasn't just a matter of preaching to people about Jesus, but it would also have included casting out devils? Well, sure it would. Laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Absolutely. So therefore, if Jesus has said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and if Jesus has said, these signs shall follow, in my name you'll cast out, that's what we should be doing. Now, turn over to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll take this a little step further. Philippians chapter 2, take a look in verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Does that sound like dominion and authority and power to you?
Amen.
Well, you better believe it does. Now look back over in Ephesians chapter 1. Take a look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Does that sound like dominion, power, and authority? You better believe it does. Now, here's the thing. I want you to look at this in verse 22. It says, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Gave Him to be the head. Gave Him to be the head. Gave Him, Jesus, or assigned to Jesus the position of headship or leadership or authority or top dog. Gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Meaning, I'm not the head. You're not the head. Brother TV preacher is not the head. Brother 25,000 member church is not the head. Jesus is the head over all things to the church. That means if I'm a part of the church and He is my head, the authority, power, and dominion of the head over all things flow straight down to me, praise God.
Amen.
And over all things includes devils. Devils. Stinky, smelly, slimy devils. The kind that want to worm their way into your life and destroy it. I have, and you have, authority, power, and dominion over the devils.
Amen.
Satan and his entire kingdom. Now see, Jesus clued us into this. In the four Gospels where it talks about He went about preaching the kingdom and teaching about the kingdom, then He demonstrated the kingdom. Didn't He say, go out and do all of these things, cast out devils, get people healed, and then tell them the kingdom has come? He was saying, look, once you're a part of the kingdom, you've got dominion, power, and authority over the devil and his works. And then the Bible says, we've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom. God's dear Son. So now that I'm in that kingdom, I'm in the place where the power, authority, and dominion exist. It's been given to me. He says, I give it to you. See, that's part of our inheritance, by the way. He's given it to us. We have the right to cast out devils in any area of life. Makes no difference whatsoever. Now remember, we've identified in Scripture that physical sickness can be the result of demonic, really, the word possession, sometimes that's one of those words I think gets a little bit overused and gets a little bit misused. But we can see how that Jesus cast devils out of people that were manifesting themselves in physical sickness. All right, so we know that physical sickness can be a part of this. And we also know that mental illness can be a part of this, what we've seen in here. And we also know that people involved in the occult can be a part. Well, definitely, that's a part of it. There's no can be, it is be. They're either possessed or man oppressed big time. And then also right along with that, stealing, killing, destroying. We also know sexual perversities. We've seen, we understand that from Scripture and so forth. So when it comes to these kinds of things operating, now, remember when, and we're not going to go through and look at all these different Scriptures because you guys, you know the Word well enough to where if I say something, you may not be able to quote the verse to me, and you may not even remember what book it's in, but you know you've read it. We've talked about it. Remember God's warnings against witchcraft, right? Paul wrote things about witchcraft. All right, now we've learned that that word witchcraft comes from a Greek word pharmakia, that it's not just a matter of casting spells, that kind of witchcraft, but it's also talking about drug use. Pharmakia is the word we get pharmacy from. It's talking about drug use. All right, now, it should go without saying, now listen very closely to this, it should go without saying that if you've got kids dabbling with drugs, there's a devil involved somewhere. God called it witchcraft. Now, if there's a devil involved, and he's given you the authority, listen, please don't misunderstand me. I am all in favor of rehab clinics and all that. I think those things are good. But I've got the power to cast a drug devil out of the life of my kids. I've got that power. Now, you go through the Bible, and as you begin to read in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, we see this more so. There are some things that have changed in the New Testament from the Old Testament, and there's some things that haven't changed, like sin. It really hasn't changed from Old Testament to New Testament. It's still sin, all right? Well, if you go back and you read in the Old Testament, you'll begin to find out how that when various nations began to sink deeper and deeper into sexual perversions, the demonic activity became more pronounced. Now, with that being true, knowing it's true, if you have a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad or kids or any kind of a family member that's involved in any kind of sexual perversions, pornography, and whatever it would be, do you understand somewhere a devil's involved? Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that people on drugs are all demon possessed. I'm not saying people into pornography, they're demon possessed. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying somewhere in this loop, something is going, there's demonic activity somewhere in there. All right? You've got the power and the authority to deal with that. But now think about it. This is going to be kind of maybe indicting to some of us, me included. How many times have we tried to work these kinds of problems out in the lives of friends and family members by our own thinking and thought process? You know what I'm saying? How many times have we tried to sit down and talk it out? And that's not a bad thing to do. It's you know, good to have that communication. But when it comes down to really dealing with the problem, man, you've got to take spiritual authority and exercise it. That's what we have to do. Listen, Christians, you know, when I get into, like, Charisma Magazine, and I read these stories about these Christian leaders getting divorced and all this stuff. And it's like they stand up and they justify themselves. No, excuse me. You stood at an altar and you said, I do first to God, second to that person. Therefore, and I know from Scripture, it is not God's desire for anybody to get divorced. If you've got two Christians and there's something going on in that area, there is a devil at work somehow in that relationship. Somehow. Again, I'm not saying wife or husband is demon possessed, but there's a devil working somehow to split them up because what's the Bible talk about? You know, what God's put asunder, no man, you know, tear apart. Well, by the same token, do you honestly, why did he say that no man tear apart? That's because from God's perspective, the devil by himself doesn't have the power to tear it apart. He's got to get cooperation from a person before he can split a marriage up. Well, Brother Martin, you making me feel bad because I got divorced. Don't feel bad. Praise God. Listen, we're preparing for the future. You can't go back and change what happened before. But I tell you what, we can take a stand against the junk that's going on now and what might come in the future. He's given us power, dominion, and authority over the devil. Now, you're a wise steward of your money. You don't use the credit cards and go crazy. You don't go out and borrow here, borrow there, borrow here, just so you can have more of this, more of that, and more of the other. You don't go bonkers at Christmas time. Amen. You try to be wise with your money. As a wise steward, God is not going to come along and slap you down and make you go broke and file bankruptcy. He wants you financially in a position to carry out His perfect will for your life. And if you're not being foolish with your money, if you're doing everything you know to be a wise steward with your money, and it seems like there's one money problem after another, that should clue you in. There's a devil somewhere trying to mess things up. And once again, let me throw another reminder. We're not casting demons out of doorknobs every time we walk into a room, okay? We're not getting crazy on this. Well, you know, Grace's glasses fell off her face. Must be a glasses devil in her glass. Well, bring him up here, Grace. We'll cast that. Now the people that get weird like that, we're not talking about that. See, we're not saying things like that. But we've got to understand that when things begin to happen in our lives, and it's not of God, and yet, like using the example, we're being wise stewards of our money, and all of a sudden, if I'm not out fooling around on my wife, if I'm not cheating on her, then if the topic of divorce comes up, if there's strife and division between us, see, if I get out there and I start committing adultery, I'm opening a door. You with me? I mean, I might as well say, come on, devil, move in. But if I'm not doing that, and everything's going okay, look, there won't be a divorce. Husband and wife both have their eyes on Jesus, there won't be a divorce. It won't happen. Something's happened. A devil has been working somehow, subtly, to get somebody distracted. It makes no sense whatsoever for a Christian to want to go back into drugs. It doesn't. Back into booze. It does not make sense. Here's what's interesting. If you had a propensity for drugs and alcohol before you got born again, I guarantee you that could be one area where the devil tries to hit you again. To try to pull you back into that. Because he knew you had a propensity for it before. You had a propensity for pornography. He may have tried to pull you back into it again later on. But it's not normal for a Christian to just go back into those things without some kind of outside influence. Something's going on. Well, and see, we get this sometimes crazy idea that it's almost like we're oblivious that the devil exists. Let me kind of come at it from a different angle. If the devil does not get your cooperation, he can't do anything. Let me put it to you another way. If God doesn't have your cooperation, what's he going to be able to do? Again, this all goes back to Genesis. Man, I've created you. I've created creation. Now, you subdue and you have dominion. It all goes back to Genesis. That's why God couldn't just drop Jesus out of thin air. He had to get the cooperation of humanity. That's why the devil can't just get you to do stuff. He's got to get your cooperation. Now listen, this may sound crazy to you, but in the realm of the spirit and in the realm of the natural, neither God nor the devil can do anything without the cooperation of those who have dominion. Well, I don't believe that, Brother Martin. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. He's got, who built the ark? God wanted the law given to man. How did he do it? He had to go through a man. He had to go through a man. And he had to start with that burning bush. You know what? You know, God was able to move on this burning bush. Burning, didn't get consumed. Moses had to walk over to it. God said, Moses, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off. I don't think so, God. It's hot out here. Took his shoes off and stood for a while and listened. God said, now, Moses, go do this. Moses did it, did he not?
Yeah.
Moses said, go tell Pharaoh. Moses said, God, what are you? Man, they wanted to kill me back there. Go tell Pharaoh. I've got a speech and a problem. Okay, I'll have your brother go with you. Oh, I've got to come up with something else. Finally, he got Moses' cooperation. And Israel got set free. God said, now, Moses, we've got to deal with something else. We've got to let everybody know how bad off they are. I want to give you the law. If you come up here, I'll give it to you. He said, okay, he comes up, God gives it to him. See, all this pattern is all through Scripture. The prophets, God said, go tell them. You go tell them. You go tell them. You go speak to my people. You go tell the nations. You go do this. Over and over and over again. Now, the devil doesn't want you to believe this. Believe what, Brother Martin? To believe that he is boxed out. And that he's got to find somebody to cooperate. Hey, let me clue you in on something. Those buildings in New York, if Satan hadn't found people to cooperate with him, they'd still be standing.
That's right.
Listen, if the devil wanted those buildings knocked down and he was able to just do it, do you think he would have done it that time of day? He would have waited till all 50,000 of those people were sitting at their desk at 2:30 in the afternoon and he'd have come along and knocked them over. He had to find somebody who would cooperate with him. And that's the way it's been all through the ages, even back in the Garden of Eden. He had to find somebody who would cooperate with him. Over and over and over again. Was it Lester Sumrall? I think it was Lester Sumrall. He's another one's got some awesome books on demonic activity, possession, oppression, and all this kind of awesome, awesome books. One of the most incredibly documented cases took place over in the Philippines. They have pictures of these things that happened and all this. He was in like Puerto Rico, Haiti, something like that. I was in another issue where somebody was... See, with this country, we're so unbelievably sheltered from a lot of this stuff that goes on. But he was in one of these countries dealing with this, and there was a lady that was demon-possessed, cast the demons out, was talking with her about this, and she began to give a really interesting explanation about what was going on in this demon possession. She said, I didn't have to do what they wanted me to do, but they put up so much emotional pressure on the inside of me that if I didn't give in and do what they wanted, I would be tormented. Now think about it. How many times have mass murderers said things like, I heard voices telling me to do this, and I couldn't get the voices to shut up? Do you understand? If the demons, folks, think about it. The devil, steal, kill, and destroy. If he could just do it without somebody's cooperation, we'd all be dead by now. You'd have been dead before you ever heard the name of Jesus preached. God had, remember Satan rebels, God kicks him out? He passed that power, dominion, and authority to us. You know, it's not right to feel sorry for the devil, but he's got it bad. Don't show him any sympathy. God kicks him out and says, now boy, you watch this. I'm going to hand all that power, dominion, and authority that I exercised over you to them. And I'll not hold back on any of it. That means just like when Satan reared up and tried to take over heaven and God kicked him out, God turns around and gives us the same power, dominion, and authority. Satan rears his head and tries to mess up our homes. We can kick him out.
Amen.
In the same way.
Amen.
But the devil doesn't want us to know this. Now, there are times where we may try to exercise authority over the devil. I'm going to show you tonight three reasons why it might seem like we fail. We're going to look in the Word here. Look over, first off, in Acts chapter 5. Revival was spreading. People were getting born again all over the place. Signs, wonders, and miracles were happening. God's love began to be demonstrated through people. Those who were hungry, those who needed help, help was being provided. And we're going to pick this up in verse, well, I'll tell you what, jump into verse 32 of chapter 4. It says, And the multitude of them that believed. Do you think we're talking about Christians here? The multitude of them that believed. It says they were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Stop right there. In other words, they took the position that I'm simply a steward of everything that I have. I don't lay claim to it. It belongs to my Lord and Savior Jesus. And I'll use it however I need to use it, that He wants me to use it, I'll do it that way. Well, it goes on and it says, with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, they sold them. They brought the prices of the things that were sold. Now stop right there and let me clarify this. This is not saying that everybody sold everything they have and ended up with nothing. Okay? It's talking about, put it like this. Let's say that you had a vacation home in Florida. Well, maybe you decided to sell your vacation home in Florida and you use that money to minister to the needs of other people. All right, that's just one kind of example here. Verse 35, they laid this money down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man according as had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But, verse 1 of chapter 5, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. I guess it did. But now look back up in this. We've got this incredible thing going on here in the church. People are helping out. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they get this idea. Here we go. Let's sell. And who knows, by the time they sold it, they may have realized, you know, hey, this property has appreciated in value quite a bit. I mean, we're getting a lot more than what we thought we were going to. Boy, honey, you know, we could sure take a pretty nice vacation here with some of this money. Well, let's give this much of it and keep the rest of it back. Maybe they gave 75%, kept 25%. I don't know. But look in verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now we are seeing a lot in these words. Ananias was a part of this church. He didn't have to do what he did, meaning sell and give money. He didn't have to do this, but he did. He lied about it, put on a show. And Peter says, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie? A key in understanding this is the word filled. It's the word, the Greek word pleroeo. And what it means is to take, it's kind of an image picture really, or image word, but it means in essence, here in this passage, to take what is necessary in order to fill a hollow place. To take what is, or to, no, no, let me rephrase, to supply what is necessary to fill a hollow place. To supply what is necessary to fill a hollow place. Satan, Ananias, why has Satan been able, how in the world was Satan able to supply what was necessary to fill the hollow place inside your heart? And you turn around and lied to the Holy Ghost. He does not say, Ananias, how was Satan able to possess you? He says, Ananias, how is it that Satan has been able to supply to you what was necessary to fill a hollow place in your heart? Now, this is a picture of what happens sometimes in the body of Christ. You say, well, what do you mean? I don't hang around devils. You don't have to. I don't see anything in here that Ananias hung around devils. Remember, Satan has to find somebody to cooperate with him. He said, Ananias, how is it that Satan hath filled your heart? Now, we know that the devil didn't walk up to Ananias with a bucket full of whatever and say, now, open up your mouth. Open up. That's it. Tilt your head back. Okay. He had to do it in the realm of the Spirit, communicating to Ananias to do this thing. Ananias, how is it? Let me rephrase this. Ananias, how is it that you could have such a hollow place in your heart to where Satan was able to supply the very thing you filled it up with? Now, how does that relate to this, our authority, and so on and so forth? Think of it like this. If you don't believe in divine healing, there is a hollow place in your heart. What has filled it up is a belief that says healing is not for today. Where did it come from? Well, that didn't come from God. Well, I heard it preached. Where'd the preacher get it? He didn't get it from God. Wait a minute. Pastor Jim, are you trying to tell me that the preacher I listened to for 37 years was influenced by the devil? If he preached to you, healing has passed away, then somehow, some way, yes. Now, he'll still go to heaven. Don't misunderstand me. But somehow, some way, there was a hollow place, if you will, related to that issue of healing that was filled with a lie from the devil to say healing's not for today. Just like with Ananias and Sapphira, there was a hollow place in their heart about honesty concerning this particular issue of selling and then giving the money. And because that hollow place wasn't filled with the integrity of God's truth, when the suggestion came along, why don't you just tell them that's what it cost or what you got them, what you sold it for? Just tell them that's what you sold it for and keep the rest of it, man. Just, you don't have to give all of that, honey. We don't have to give all of that. We can just tell everybody it sold for this much. And I'll buy you that diamond ring. Oh, Ananias. For me? Do you see what I'm getting at here? This is why sometimes Satan is able to mess things up in our lives. It's because we bought into a lie of his. And we've allowed that, the subtleness of a lie, to fill a hollow part in our heart so that we believe the lie. Such as, I wouldn't want to say I've got power over the devil and make him mad at me. There's a hollow place in there. And the hollow place is, you don't know that God's given to you. You've got the authority. You've got it. It's inside you. That would be like somebody, you know, sitting at home saying, oh, bless God, I wish I could just go on vacation. You just don't know how bad I took this whole week off. I sure would like to go to Florida. Well, why don't you go? Well, I just can't get down there. Why not? Well, my car won't make it. Why not? Well, I just don't have it to go. I mean, with your gas tanks full, fire the thing up and put it in drive and go. I just can't. Not, as silly as that sounds, it is exactly what happens in the body of Christ. Bible says you're healed. I don't know what the Bible says, but I just can't believe it. Why not? Because there's a hollow place in the heart that needs to be filled with God's truth, but instead a lie has occupied that hollow place. And this is why, now hang with me on this. You hear a message like this, mentally, you're motivated to take action. Spiritually, you've got to be convinced you can take action. Remember the 7 sons of Sceva.
We adjourn you in the name of Jesus. Come out of him.
Jesus we know, Paul we know, Paul, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who in the world are you? Now, I don't know for sure if they were born again or not, but it's the same kind of principle. We go 25 years of our spirit-filled Christian life and never once stand up to the devil in the area of healing, and then all of a sudden, praise God, that's right. Pastor said, I can do this. I've got the power and the authority. I'm going to do it. Satan, in Jesus' name. He says, yeah, who are you? Where'd you come from? Well, the pastor said, yeah, you've got a whole bunch of head knowledge, but has it sunk down past the head into the heart to replace the lie that I put in there, that I whispered into your life? See, get this. The Word of God is the thing that has to replace the lie. It's lie or it's truth. Well, there's not a if or. It's lie or it's truth. The Word of God has to be the thing that replaces the truth. And I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't just come from hearing this sermon one time. I mean, by this morning's message, tonight's message, you get so motivated, so, yeah, praise God. Man, this is right. Hallelujah. But if you don't take it beyond the tape this morning and the tape tonight, if you don't take it beyond the tapes and what you've heard me say, and let it become the Word. The Word. The truth has to replace the lie. Remember what Jesus said about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks?
Yeah.
Do you realize Satan can't see your heart? He's not God. Have you figured this out? He's not omniscient, he's not omnipotent, and he's not omnipresent. He's not God. Now, using that, let me say it like this. He's not sure how much word you've got in your heart. He can only tell by your words and your actions how much word is in your heart. When you begin to speak, if your words line up with God's word, if you're confessing, not just quoting scripture, but if your speech is the word and the will of God. It's not God's will for my body to be sick. I did not inherit sickness. If this is how you talk on a continual basis, he knows there's something going on inside of you. He sees the results of it. He hears the results of it. But if the only time that you ever try to exercise authority over him is every 15 months, when you hear a sermon about authority and all this, and then you decide to speak up, he knows it's not deep in your heart. Because if it were, it would be the abundance of your heart, and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth's going to speak. And if for 14 months all you do is talk about pain, sickness, ouch, oh, I can't, I won't, I'll never, and then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, you start saying, I take authority. He's going to say, with what? You've got the power, dominion, and authority. But you're going to tell me that 14 months of living by my lie has been changed in 5 seconds? Satan wants to fill your heart with his lies. And if he can do that, he's going to be able to affect how you exercise your dominion, power, and authority over him. Now let me show you another way. Look over in Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, take a look at verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame him. See, the victory is already given to you, but you overcome or you exercise, he says, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Now, here's where people get this. Plead the blood, plead the blood. Well, it says right there, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I know that's what it says, but show me a passage in Scripture where it says, plead the blood. It's not in there. I mean, go ahead and look it up yourself, but it's not in there. It's not in the Word. You mean I'm not supposed to say that? Well, you say it if it makes you feel good. It's all right. That's not what it's talking about. Standing up and saying, I plead the blood against you, devil. I plead the blood, plead the blood, plead the blood. He says, blood's already been shed. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It's talking about the position in God that the blood of the Lamb has made available to you. Amen. You didn't overcome him by the blood of an animal. You overcame Jesus because you passed through the blood of Jesus, entering into sonship with God. You overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It's not just a matter, you know, we hear songs and stories and sermons and all this. Well, when the devil looks at me, all he sees is the blood. No, the devil doesn't look at me and see the blood. When the devil looks at me, he sees a child of God. Amen. Clothed in the armor of God. Yes. That's what he sees. And I know we talk about these, you know, the blood sermons and all that. And these things, they sound good and they can really get us pumped up. But what I'm saying is, it's not just a matter of standing up and saying, I plead the blood. It's a matter of what the blood has done for you and the position in God has made available to you. That's how you overcame. The blood was shed to make it possible for you to receive the power, dominion, and authority of God in your spirit. And the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. Not their testimony. Not their testimony, the word of their testimony. You ever, you know, testimony time. Somebody stand and testify. Well, I thank God I got saved when I was a little bitty girl, got filled with the Holy Ghost a couple of days after. I've been serving Jesus all my life. I love Jesus all my heart, love all you. Just pray for me that I'll make it through. Oh, glory to God. That's not what it's talking about. Listen. In the kingdom of God, if you ain't got the word, you ain't got a testimony. This word testimony, it's an interesting word. It's not just stand up and tell everybody what God did for you. This word testimony comes from a Greek word that means to openly declare the values of another. Meaning, give you an example of what, one example of how this could apply. The word of my testimony. All right. What does God's word say about Jesus? What we've learned tonight, God's put him in a position. He's head over all things to the church. God's given him the name above all things. God's seated him and he's got, he is above all power and principality and all those kinds of things. That's what we've learned about Jesus. That is a testimony of Jesus, all right? Then Jesus said, go forth in my name, these signs shall follow, in my name. My testimony then turns out to be, in the name of Jesus, devil, come out. It's not just a matter of Jesus said I have authority over you. Yes, that's true. But now I exercise that authority by testifying of that authority in the name of Jesus. By the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. So if I don't have, now listen, if I don't have any word in me, how can I testify in Jesus' name? But when I get the word, and God's word is truth, when I get the word about healing in me, I can testify about healing to my body and say, in the name of Jesus, by His stripes, you were healed. I'm testifying of the values of Jesus Christ to my body, to your body. Now, let me show you another one. Third one. The third one tonight. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why could not we cast out the devil? Why could we not cast this devil out? What was the problem, Jesus? And Jesus answered, he said unto them, because of your unbelief. They'd cast devils out before. They'd seen people healed before. They couldn't figure out how come they couldn't do it now. Jesus said, because of your unbelief. This is the third reason. Unbelief will hinder you from exercising your authority over the devil. But I do believe. Yeah, just like the one fellow said, Jesus, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. These guys didn't know there was unbelief in them, or they'd have never tried to cast it out. Somehow, and I don't fully understand it yet, but somehow, when we speak our words, those words come forth clothed in belief or unbelief. Somehow. I don't understand how it works. I really don't. These guys thought they had the power. They thought they had the authority. They thought they had the belief. They thought they had it all. And they said, how come we couldn't do it? Jesus, you sent us out two by two and we were able to cast out devils. Now all of a sudden we find out we can't. Can you please tell us what the problem is? And Jesus said, no, yeah, I can tell you. It's easy. You're unbelief. Unbelief? But Jesus, we've done this before. Yeah, you did it before, but you've come up against something that's going to demand a greater level of faith than what you've been walking in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Jesus talked about this kind of unbelief doesn't come out except by prayer and by fasting. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the fasting, there was something about their flesh that had built a wall to keep them from being able to do what they thought they could do. Now, here we are. It's the same thing. But I spoke to that devil. I know you did. What happened? Nothing. I don't know why God didn't move. Wait a minute. Did not Jesus say, I give you power over all the power? Did not God say that He's made Jesus the head over all things to the church? Did not Jesus say, in my name, you'll cast out devils? Yes, all of these things are in the Word. Therefore, it sounds to me like God's already come through. So it's not me blaming God. It's me figuring out what to do with my unbelief. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and by fasting. Therefore, the Word, prayer, and fasting, that's going to help me right there to get past this. See? Because no matter how many times I look like I fail, it's not going to change the Word of God. Here's part of the problem we run into. Because we're born again and even Spirit-filled for X number of years, we think longevity qualifies us for power and authority. And it doesn't. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this kind doesn't come out but by prayer and by fasting. We have been given the power over all the power of the devil. I have the right, the authority, and the commission from God Himself to take authority over and cast the devil out of my finances, my health, attacks on my body, my family, my church, my this, my whatever. Not only that, do you know what? I can also help you out too. Because the Word doesn't say I can only deal with that thing as far as my life's concerned. You know when the Bible talks about us praying for one another? This is part of what it's making reference to. Me helping you. What? What, are we going to take baby Christians and slap them around and say, man, get with it? They need to be fed some milk. While they're being fed some milk, they need somebody to help them out. This is why I can stand right here, in this room, right here, tonight. And I can say, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I speak confusion into your plans to draw my son into drugs. And I say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, your plans will not prosper. I can do that here. I can do it right here. I don't have to go find him, lay hands on him. I mean, listen, you better be glad this thing works in the realm of the Spirit as opposed to the natural, or you would have to go find everybody if it worked just in the natural. But it works in the realm of the Spirit. That's why I can stand right here and I can say in Jesus' name, I take authority in this area. I can do that. Now, I'm going to be really bold here, and if I'm out of line, then you can correct me. Jim Shepherd, it's not natural for anybody to have the kind of car problems you've had. Nope. Now, I mean this, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, but Jim, I'm telling you right now, I'm firmly convinced there's demonic activity in that realm. Yeah. Jim had a car wreck this past Thursday. That's like the third car wreck they've had since I've known them. It's never been their fault. Somebody else has always been the one that's done it. They've had mechanical problems, just one thing right after another. There's only one other person I've ever heard of in my life had that kind of car problems. That's not natural. Everybody has to get tune-ups. Everybody every now and then, you know, our cars get a little dinky on us. We get things fixed. But not like this. It's just not normal. It's not. There's something going on. Please don't go out of here and say, Pastor Martin said Jim Shepherd's cars are demon-possessed. Please don't do that. I'm not saying that. But there's something there. It just doesn't happen like that. That's why tonight we're going to take a stand, Jim, with you tonight in this area. We're going to do it. And I'm just going to tell you right now, Jim, and I say this to encourage you. We'll do this tonight. But man, when you get home, listen, if the devil, how did the devil, why pick the cars? I don't know. But take this, do this. I mean, you take a stand and authority over this. He's got kids growing up. They're going to want cars, aren't they? We're going to work on that. This thing, Brother Don stood up here this morning, standing in the gap for Marcia's dad. We spoke into that situation. Because that's not right. That's not normal. It shouldn't be like that. He shouldn't still be unconscious there in that hospital. There's a devil trying to split your marriage up. It's not of God. It's not of God. It's not. It's not of God. And I don't say this to embarrass you, but folks, we are the body of Christ. God help us if we don't take a stand on behalf of people that are being attacked. It's not right. It's not right. And we're going to pray with you tonight. We're going to take a stand with you tonight. We're going to take authority over this. We're going to stand by your side. Because you're our sister in the Lord. Amen. Hey, listen. Man, the devil has beat up on people for a long time. And people in the body of Christ stood by. You know, how many times you heard things like, you know, well, you know, just pray for brother so-and-so. Oh, yeah, well, whatever. Man, take a stand. Because listen, sometimes when attacks come in your mind, man, it's like your emotions get so you know, flip-flopped all over the place. It's like you can't figure out what to do. You just don't know. And it's not that God's messed up your thought process. That's not it at all. It's just that, man, when these attacks come, sometimes it's just like I get the phone call 5:00 in the morning. My mother passed away. No reason for it. They never could find a reason for it. So they took the easy, you know, once you get past like 60 years old, if they can't find a reason for death, they just put arteriosclerotic heart disease, hardening of the arteries. Because that's an easy way out for elderly people. Well, my mom was in her 60s. They couldn't find anything. Weeks, months go by. They couldn't find out anything was wrong. So finally they just put down arteriosclerotic heart disease. That's what we had on the death certificate. Technically, they're not supposed to have a funeral and bury somebody until they've got something on a death certificate. It was weeks beyond the funeral before we ever got anything back. Folks, we have been given power, dominion, and authority over devils. Amen. We have it in this room right here. We've got it. Thoughts come along to try to get you to do stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing. How many of you have ever experienced, out of the clear blue, a thought comes in your mind that it's just like, where on God's green earth did this come from? You ever had dreams? We won't go into great description, but I'm talking about dreams that we ain't watching them here in this church. Are you with me? You wake up in the morning and you think, where in the world did this come from? I didn't even eat a Taco Bell last night. What is going on? You know, for a long time, Steve went through a lot of job problems. That was the devil working to try to keep him out of gainful employment. I mean, just doing all kinds of stuff, messing him up. Some of you know the devil's been working in your lives. In fact, some of you, as a result of this message, things are going to start, it's like all of a sudden you're going to start seeing some activity. I don't mean you're going to start seeing demons, but you're going to start on the inside, you're going to start recognizing where there's been some activity and you didn't even know it. You didn't even recognize, you didn't realize that this was a real guerrilla attack of the enemy. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. But the power of God's truth will shut him down. And every single one of us in here, we have the power, dominion, and authority over the devil. All of us. And I can tell you right now, the only way the devil will ever get me back in, ever get me back into the sin that I was in years ago, the only way is if I choose to cooperate with him.
That's right.
The only way. I'll not be smoking any more dope. I'll not be popping any more pills. I won't be boozing it up anymore. I won't be going to the porno theaters. No. And the only way that'll happen is if he somehow is able to find a little hollow spot and whisper a lie in there that I don't deal with. Every ministry that has ever fallen, every church that has ever split, it's because there's a devil or devils working under the pews. You know, somehow. Praise God. I stand before you, a man who has been given the power, dominion, and authority over the devil. And I look out across a congregation of people who have been given the power, dominion, and authority over the devil. We have God, dominion, authority over devils. That's us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody stand.